Greetings, fellow knowledge seekers, and welcome to the sixth instalment of the 20 Questions Quiz Podcast in 2024. We're delighted to have you back for another exciting expedition into the realms of curiosity and wisdom. Whether you're a seasoned quizzer or a newcomer, you're in for a treat. For those diving into our quiz universe for the first time, here is how the game works. You will face 20 questions, each a stepping stone into the depths of various subjects. The challenge amplifies with every question, and you have a limited 10 seconds to emerge victoriously. However, one wrong answer, and it's game over, and I take the victory. A special shout out to our listeners. Your enthusiasm and support make this podcast thrive, so connect with us on Twitter at 20 Questions Quiz or via email at 20questionsquiz@gmail.com. We'd love to hear your feedback, suggestions, or even a question for an upcoming episode. So here we go. Fasten your intellectual seatbelts, prepare for a mental workout, whether you're on a physical workout, a walk with the dog, or just sitting at home in front of a roaring fire. Let's delve into the intellectual adventure and see if you can defeat 20 questions. So here we go once again for the sixth time in 2024. Settle back, settle in, and let me begin with question number one. Complete the proverb, an apple a day. Complete the proverb, an apple a day.
Five. 4, 3, 2, 1.
An apple a day keeps the doctor away. This proverb suggests that eating an apple each day can contribute to good health and help prevent the need for medical visits. Question number two. How many legs does a spider have? How many legs does a spider have?
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Most spiders have 8 legs. This characteristic distinguishes them from insects, which typically have 6. Question 3, another number question. How many signs of the zodiac are there? How many signs of the zodiac are there?
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
There are 12 signs of the zodiac. Question number 4. Complete the name of this war movie classic. Saving Private what? Complete the name of this war movie classic. Saving Private what?
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
One of the great war films of the 20th century, Saving Private Ryan, is a war movie directed by Steven Spielberg, released in 1998. The film is set during the Second World War and follows a group of soldiers led by Captain John Miller, played by Tom Hanks. The mission is to locate and bring home Private James Francis Ryan, portrayed by Matt Damon, whose three brothers have been killed in action. Question number 5. What is stored in the hump of a camel? What is stored in the hump of a camel?
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Now, contrary to common misconception, a camel's hump does not store water. Instead, the hump of a camel stores fat. Camels are well adapted to surviving in arid environments, and the fat stored in their humps serves as a reservoir of energy. During times when food is scarce, camels can utilize the fat from their humps to sustain themselves, allowing them to go for extended periods without eating. The ability to store fat in their humps helps camels endure the challenges of desert life. So we're five down, a quarter of the way through this edition of 20 Questions. Did that last question stump you? A little trick question? If it didn't, we move on to question six. And we go on now to electricity. What kind of electricity can make your hair stand up? What kind of electricity can make your hair stand up?
Five, four, three, two, one.
Static electricity is the type of electricity that can make your hair stand up. Now, this phenomenon occurs when certain materials rub against each other. For some reason, it happens to me a lot on escalators, causing electrons to transfer from one surface to another. The imbalance of electrons causes a charge separation. And when you touch a surface of a different charge, or sometimes even when you touch another person, you can receive a static shock. This can cause individual hairs to repel each other, making them stand up and creating the familiar effect of staticky or frizzy hair. Question 7. Entertainment. Who created The Simpsons? Question 7. Who created The Simpsons?
Five, four, three, two, one.
The Simpsons was created by cartoonist Matt Groening. The animated sitcom made its debut on the Fox network on the 17th of December, 1989. The show follows the lives of the Simpson family, Homer, Marge, Bart, Lisa and Maggie, in the fictional town of Springfield. The Simpsons has become one of the longest running and most iconic animated television series in the whole world, known for its satirical humour, memorable characters and its cultural impact. Moving on to question number 8. What is a female elephant called? What is a female elephant called?
Five, four, three, two, one.
A female elephant is called a cow. In the context of elephants, the term cow is commonly used to refer to an adult female, while a male is referred to as a bull. The term calf is used for the offsprings of elephants, regardless of its gender. Moving on, we're getting a little bit more difficult now. Question number 9. What is the study of time called? What is the study of time called?
Five, four, three, two, one.
The study of time is called chronology. It involves the arrangement of events or phenomena in the order of their occurrence over time. Chronology is an essential aspect of various fields, including history, archaeology, astronomy, and geology, where understanding and recording the sequence of events are crucial for analysis and interpretation. Question 10. Who invented dynamite? Who invented dynamite?
Five, four, three, two, one.
Now, dynamite was invented by Alfred Nobel, a Swedish chemist, engineer, and inventor. Nobel patented dynamite in 1867 as a safer and more stable alternative to hydroglycerin, which was highly volatile. The invention of dynamite had significant implications for various industries, particularly in construction, mining and demolition, due to its controlled and safer explosive properties. Alfred Nobel's invention of dynamite ultimately contributed to his wealth, and he is perhaps best known today for establishing the Nobel Prizes with the fortune he amassed during his lifetime. 10 questions down, 10 to go on this edition of 20 Questions. How are you doing right now? Wherever you may be in the world. Downloaded now in over 80 countries worldwide. It's a pleasure to have your company with me, Johnny O'Brien, wherever you may be right now. Whether you're on a workout, listening in the car, on commute, walking the dog, or in front of family and friends, it's an absolute joy to have you. Are you still in the game though? You're halfway there. 10 down, 10 to go. You gotta get all 20 right to beat me. And I have questions coming up on medieval times. Tests. The Heart, Mary Poppins, Sherlock Holmes, Food of the World, and John Lennon. That is what stands between you and defeated 20 questions. But we go to medieval times. Question 11. What did a Fletcher make? In medieval times, what did a Fletcher make?
Five, four, three, two, one.
Now, if you've got the surname Fletcher, this is where your surname comes from. Because a Fletcher, traditionally in medieval times, was a person who makes arrows. The term comes from the old French word fletch, which means arrow. In medieval times, fletchers played a crucial role in crafting arrows for use in archery. They were responsible for selecting appropriate materials such as wood for the shafts and feathers, or later flights, for stabilization, and assembling these components to create functional arrows. The craft of fletching was an important skill in many cultures, especially during periods when archery was a significant aspect of warfare and hunting. 9 to go, question 12. What does the Ishihara test indicate? What does the Ishihara test indicate?
Five, four, three, two, one.
The Ishihara test is a color perception test designed to assess a person's ability to recognize colors or to detect color blindness, particularly red-green color deficiencies. Named after its creator, Dr. Shinobu Ishihara, a Japanese ophthalmologist, the test uses a series of plates with dots of various colors and sizes arranged in patterns. Now, some of these patterns form numbers or shapes that are visible to individuals with normal color vision, but may be difficult or impossible to discern for those with color vision deficiencies. The Ishihara test is widely used to diagnose red-green color blindness, which is the most common form of color blindness. The results help determine the type and severity of color vision deficiencies in individuals. The Ishihara test to detect color blindness. Moving on from the eyes to the heart. Who performed the first human heart transplant? Who performed the first human heart transplant?
Five, four, three, two, one.
A very famous name, in anatomical science. The first successful human heart transplant was performed by Dr. Christian Varnard, a South African cardiac surgeon. The historic surgery took place on the 3rd of December 1967 at Groote Schuur Hospital in Cape Town, South Africa. The patient who received the heart transplant was named Louis Washkansky, a 55-year-old man with end-stage heart disease. Dr. Barnard and his team transplanted the heart of a young woman who had died in a car accident into Washkansky. The surgery was groundbreaking, marking a significant advancement in the field of organ transplantation. While Washkansky initially survived the procedure, unfortunately, he died 18 days later due to pneumonia, a complication that was not directly related to the transplant itself. Despite the challenges and ethical debates surrounding the early days of organ transplantation, Dr. Barnard's work laid the foundation for further developments in the field. Question 14, art. Marilyn Monroe's face is featured in a famous series of images by which artist? Marilyn Monroe's face is featured in a famous series of images by which artist?
Five, four, three, two, one.
Marilyn Monroe's face is featured in a famous series of images by American pop artist Andy Warhol. Andy Warhol's artwork, titled Nine Marilyns, is one of the iconic representation of Monroe in the realm of pop art. He produced multiple works featuring Monroe, including paintings and prints, often used a mass production technique that became characteristic in his artistic style. The vivid and colorful depictions of Monroe by Warhol have become enduring symbols of both celebrity culture and pop art movements. Question 15. Which family does Mary Poppins go to work for? Which family does Mary Poppins go to work for?
Five, four, three, two, one.
Mary Poppins goes to work for the Banks family in the popular children's book series written by P.L. Travers and the subsequent film adaptation. The Banks family is headed by George and Winifred Banks, and they have two children, Jane and Michael. Mary Poppins, a magical and whimsical nanny with unique abilities, arrives to take care of the Banks children and brings a touch of magic and adventure to their lives. We've reached the final five. The five toughest questions on this edition of 20 Questions. And it will deal with Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, Sherlock Holmes, volcanoes, food of the world, and John Lennon. Those are the five you need to beat if you've got the previous 15 right to say you have defeated 20 questions, a feat I'm yet to hear anyone say they have done. Question 16 of 20 is this. What career has the actor who played Charlie in the original adaptation of Roald Dahl's Charlie and the Chocolate Factory gone on to do? What career has the actor who played Charlie in the original adaptation of Roald Dahl's Charlie and the Chocolate Factory gone on to do?
Five, four, three, two, one.
His name was Peter Ostrom, who played Charlie Bucket in the original adaptation of Roald Dahl's Charlie and the Chocolate Factory in 1971. He did not pursue a career in acting after the film. Instead, he became a vet, a veterinarian. Ostrom decided not to continue with acting and focused on his education, eventually earning a Doctor of Veterinary Medicine degree. He went on to work as a veterinarian, caring for animals, and he has kept a relatively low profile in the entertainment industry. One of the great films of my childhood, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Question 17, and one of my literary heroes, Sherlock Holmes. But when he retired, what hobby did Sherlock Holmes take up when he retires? What hobby does Sherlock Holmes take up when he retires?
Five, four, three, two, one.
In Arthur Conan Doyle's Sherlock Holmes stories, specifically in the story The Adventure of the Sussex Vampire, Holmes takes up beekeeping during his retirement. In the narrative, Dr. John Watson, Holmes' close friend and chronicler, visits him in the countryside and finds him engaged in beekeeping activities. This detail about Holmes' retirement hobby is not present in all adaptations of the character, but is a notable element in Doyle's original works. Beekeeping serves as a way for Holmes to channel his intellect and energy in a different direction during his retirement. Question 18 of 20. After the eruption of the Nyamuragira volcano in the Democratic Republic of Congo in 2010, many people got cholera. Why? After the eruption of the Nyamuragira volcano in the Democratic Republic of Congo in 2010, many people got cholera. Why?
Five, four, three, two, one.
There was a big problem after that volcano erupted in the Democratic Republic of Congo in 2010, with the disbursement of much of the population, the absence of sanitation facilities after the eruption was a crucial factor in the outbreak of cholera. Cholera is highly sensitive to conditions of poor sanitation and contaminated water sources. Without proper sanitation infrastructure, including access to clean water, sewage disposal and hygiene facilities, the risk of waterborne diseases, including cholera, significantly increases. The absence of sanitation facilities was the right answer. Efforts to provide clean water, establish proper sanitation practices and educate the affected population on hygiene became crucial in such post-disaster situations to prevent and control the spread of that waterborne disease. Two to go. Question 19 of 20, the penultimate question on this edition of 20 questions, deals with food of the world. Svio, spelt S-V-I-O, is a dish of boiled sheep's head prepared in which country? Svio, S-V-I-O, is a dish of boiled sheep's head prepared in which country?
Five, four, three, two, one.
Svio is a traditional Icelandic dish consisting of a boiled sheep's head. The dish is part of Icelandic cuisine and is typically prepared by boiling the sheep's head until the meat is tender. Sounds delicious. It is often served with mashed rutabagas and potatoes. Svio is considered a delicacy by some and is a traditional dish enjoyed during certain Icelandic festivals and events. 19 down, one to go. If you've got 19 right in a row, and I haven't tripped you up yet, this is the question you need to get right to say you have defeated 20 questions. Question 20 of 20 is on John Lennon. The final question of this edition of 20 questions is this. What was the last song that John Lennon played in concert before a paying audience? What was the last song that John Lennon played in concert before a paying audience?
Five, four, three, two, one.
Have you got it? Have you got this right and say that you have defeated 20 questions? The last song John Lennon played in concert was Imagine. He played it during a salute to Sir Lou Grade, the Master Showman, on April the 18th, 1975, at the Waldorf Astoria Hotel in New York City. This event was a tribute to the British entertainment mogul Sir Lou Grade, marked his last live appearance. Too easy. The question was played in concert before a paying audience. That performance was done in a TV studio at the Waldorf Astoria. So you gotta go back to when was the last time John Lennon played a concert in front of a paying audience. And that was on November the 28th, 1974. The ex-Beatle strode out into the spotlight at Madison Square Garden in New York City. And not even he would have realized it was going to be his last ever live concert performance. Lennon was welcomed to the stage by Elton John during the legendary Piano Man's USA tour after losing a friendly bet over how well a single would do in the charts. That single was Whatever Gets You Through the Night, and he sung that with Elton John. He also sang Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds and the answer to this question. John Lennon's final song played in concert before a paying audience was I Saw Her Standing There. He joked with the audience about the song's provenance. He told them the song was a number of an estranged fiancé of mine called Paul. This is one I never sang. After that hat-trick of hits, Lennon ceded the spotlight back to Elton John and he left the concert stage for the very last time. And there you have it. Fascinating little fact to end this edition of 20 questions, and one no doubt you can stump your friends on. Let's see how they get on 20 questions. Let them know. Drop me a line on Twitter at 20 questions quiz, or drop me an email, 20questionsquiz@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you wherever you may be in the world. 80 countries were downloaded now, where this podcast may be. It's an absolute pleasure to have your company once again. New episodes available every Thursday at 6 a.m. And don't forget, there's plenty more editions of 20 Questions that you can play along with. Music editions that we released at Christmas time, as well as the sports editions as well, as well as the other 25 episodes of 20 Questions we did in 2023. Test your friends, test your family, test your workmates, get them on board and see how far they can get on 20 questions. From me, Johnny Bryan, thank you so much for your company once again. Till next time, see you soon. Bye for now.